It's the Friday afternoon Paul Harris Show on the Big 550 KTRS. Thank you very much for listening. And since it's the 4 o'clock hour on a Friday afternoon, it's time for the Showbiz Show. And Max is here with me to talk about movies. And I've got to get into the sexual harassment scandal, which is spreading, not just in Hollywood, but in many other places. And we've also got news on a couple of reboots of projects you will remember from years ago. But first, let's start off with yet another comic book movie, another one from the Marvel Cinematic Universe. When it comes around to these movies, I almost never go. I did go see Wonder Woman, and I did go see the Spider-Man movie this year, and last year I saw Batman versus Superman. But when it comes to stuff like the Justice League or the Hulk movies or Thor movies, that's what you're here for, because you're the comic book boy, right?
Sure.
Well,
comic book boy sounds sort of head patty, doesn't it?
Yes, it does.
I'm going to point that out.
Yes, and I'm not apologizing.
No, that's fine. You know, I grew up in the early 80s where it was not cool at all to read comics, and you were picked on and you were bullied.
Well, I don't mean it in that way.
Well, no, I know, but I'm saying this is all set up for where I'm going with this. It still blows my mind that respected actors like Anthony Hopkins, Cate Blanchett, can be in a big superhero movie,
yeah,
and they're not mocked and made fun of.
Yeah.
Because, again, enjoying Star Wars, enjoying Star Trek, it was not, I mean, that's why you had movies like Revenge of the Nerds, because you were a nerd.
Yes.
It was not cool to be a nerd. And it's crazy just to go to Target right now, and there's Millennium Falcons everywhere.
Yeah.
I feel like, what alternate universe do I live in,
yeah,
where the third Thor movie is in theaters? It's so strange.
And again, I don't look down on people who like these. I just don't happen to be one of them.
What did you think of Wonder Woman?
I liked Wonder Woman. Okay. I think it's one of probably the best movies of the year.
I agree.
It'll be in my top 20 for the year, certainly.
It doesn't change your mind about comic book films.
Occasionally, I admire them, but I don't care about the whole cinematic universe.
Sure, sure.
And
sure,
all the characters are in there. I know there's one that has, it's coming out soon, with Black Panther with Idris Elba.
Yes, that is the follow-up to this film. I don't think Idris Elba's in that, though. He's in Thor Ragnarok.
Okay.
Yeah, Chadwick Boseman is
Black right.
Panther.
Oh, right. Excuse me. You're right.
That has a great cast, though. And Ryan Coogler directed it. And of course, he did Creed and Fruitvale Station. And he's just a very talented director, so I'm looking forward to that.
All right. Well, tell us about this. The only thing I know about Thor Ragnarok,
yes,
is that I once worked at a radio station which almost changed formats to Ragnarok.
Yes, Ragnarok.
Yes.
You know, I'm actually familiar with this term. Again, maybe because I'm a geek. I don't know.
But I don't know what it means.
It was the Norse version of the end of days, of the end of the world. So you know how the Mayans had their calendar on this date, 2012, we're all,
yes,
going to die. Well, for the Norse men and Norse women, it was the idea that there was this giant intergalactic snake, I think, or some sort of monster that was going to devour the world. And they, mm-hmm, called that Ragnarok. Like, it's only a matter of time. Ragnarok's coming. Well, it didn't.
Let me just say, it did eventually for the Norse.
Yes.
You don't see a lot of Norse around.
Exactly.
Although, I think if you go to Minneapolis, there are some people who are descendants of Norsemen.
So they were right about the end of the world, maybe not the giant snake. And so when they announced this movie would be called Thor Ragnarok, I thought, wow, I wonder if they're going to do the end of Asgard, and they do in this movie in a sort of a roundabout way. I've honestly lost track, Paul. It's either the 14th, 15th, or 16th Marvel movie, and so the number one question I always get when you have any kind of legacy movie like this, like Harry Potter or Star Wars, people always say, can I just go see this one, or do I have to have seen the other movies?
Yeah.
And unfortunately, the answer is always, you have to see the other movies. You don't open up a book and skip to the 14th chapter and start reading it, and that's how these movies are. They're not like the James Bond movies that you can just pick up and go see it, even though it's the 22nd or 24th. Those are not really connected. But these Marvel movies are, so you're not going to know who the characters are if you haven't watched the first two Thor films, let alone the other films in this universe.
Okay.
Now, for the geeks who really enjoy this stuff and who own all the Blu-rays, they're right there anyway. And I knew this from when I went to see the screening. There were lots of people before the lights went down debating what was going to happen. And what do you think is going to happen with Loki? And what about Odin? And what's happening here? So it's just like being in a comic book shop back in the 80s. The fans are super into this.
Okay, so Chris Hemsworth is Thor, is that right?
Yes, Chris Hemsworth is Thor. And if you look at his body of work outside of the Thor movies, they've tried tried to make him into an action hero with a movie called Black Hat, a movie called Red Dawn that was a remake. Those have all failed. Where he's actually found success was in the Vacation sequel. He had a small comedic part in the Ghostbusters remake. He was their secretary.
Oh,
he was
right.
Hilarious.
The dumb
that.
Hunk.
Yeah, and he was very funny.
The himbo.
Yeah, so finally in this movie with Thor Ragnarok, there's been humor in the other Thor films, but in this one, it's a flat-out comedy. So it plays to Hemsworth's strengths. I think he's very good with comedic timing.
Okay, and Gal Gadot, who's Wonder Woman, she in the movie?
No, because that's a different cinematic universe. That's DC and Wonder Woman.
Oh, so Justice League will be a DC thing.
Absolutely.
This is Marvel. Okay,
yeah.
I'm sorry.
Gal Gadot will be in Justice League.
Which is 2 weeks away.
Exactly. She's going to be Wonder Woman again in that picture. I'm very excited for that. This is Marvel. So this is Iron Man, the Hulk, who shows up. You've got Thor.
So wait a second. Is that still Robert Downey Jr.?
Yes.
Mark Ruffalo as the Hulk?
Absolutely.
Is Scarlett Johansson in there as Spider-Woman, or what's her name?
She's Black Widow.
That's what I said.
And there's somewhat of a cameo from Scarlett Johansson. Robert Downey Jr. is not in this. The only main Avenger you get in this is Mark Ruffalo's Hulk, who a couple of movies ago was shot into space and nobody knew what happened to him. In this movie,
I hate when that happens.
You find out what happens to him. Now, this is a film directed by a man whose name I'm probably going to mispronounce here. It's Taiki Waititi, I believe.
Okay.
He is a New Zealand director who is beloved by fans of sort of strange off-the-wall comedy, including he worked with Flight of the Conchords. He did a movie called Eagle vs. Shark. He also did Hunt for the Wilder People last year, and he did the vampire spoof What We Do in the Shadows. Not really the kind of director you would think Marvel would go after, but he plays one of the characters here, and he's hilarious in the movie. They're going for a comedy vibe more than anything else. Yes, there's some action. The song that we bumped in with, Immigrant Song by Led Zeppelin, they play that in the movie twice in like these big, you know, violent action scenes. Mm-hmm. But all in all, it's a comedy. It follows in the footsteps of the Guardians of the Galaxy films, which were big hits for Marvel. They want some of that sweet space comedy money.
Does the plot matter?
If you've been following these movies for a long time, like a lot of fans have, yes, the plot actually answers some questions. I don't want to get too much into spoilers, but you had one of the villains, Loki, played by Tom Hiddleston, who assumed control of the kingdom in the last movie. And this was like 4 years ago. So they finally get around to saying, here's what happened with that. So yeah, for people playing the long game and watching all these movies, you do have some answers. And of course, it has a cliffhanger ending because they're going to feed into the next movie, which mm-hmm. is Black Panther, which comes out in February. And then after that, we have another Avengers movie. I mean, these things show no sign of slowing down.
But this will undoubtedly be the number one box office movie this weekend.
I think it will be number one for 2 weeks until Justice League comes out, and I think Justice League is going to do very well because people are super excited about Wonder Woman's return.
Yeah.
They've completely changed around the marketing of this movie. They were going to highlight Ben Affleck's Batman, and then after Wonder Woman came out and broke box office records, and it's, I think, the highest grossing superhero origin film of all time, they said, no, let's go back and re-edit that trailer, and let's give Gal some more to do.
And by
it
the
now.
Way, Ben Affleck has part of the sexual harassment thing, charges against him. We may want to downplay him a little bit. Plus, people who are into this stuff weren't so hot on him, as I recall.
You know, there's already talk, because there is a spinoff Batman movie coming, of course, because Batman is super popular. No pun intended. There is some talk about maybe Affleck stepping away from the cowl. So I don't know if that'll happen or not. But you can tell with Justice League, they're pushing Wonder Woman front and center.
Okay. This $100 million open this weekend for Thor Ragnarok?
More than that. Yeah, because people, the word of mouth has been really great. People like the sort of lighthearted comedy nature. There's nothing else at the box office right now. There really hasn't been a really huge hit since It. And that was way back in late August, early September. So I think people want to go see something at the movies. And Justice League will be a more serious, somber action movie. This is not. This is a light as a feather comedy. Reminded me a lot of Flash Gordon. Remember Flash Gordon with Sam Jones III and Max von Sydow?
Yeah.
This is a very 1980s throwback fun comedy vibe to it.
I believe the soundtrack for that was by Queen.
And the soundtrack to this is Mark Mothersbaugh from Devo.
Okay. That's not a plus for a lot of people, but he's done other movies. If you put the Devo stuff aside, he's done other movies, soundtracks, and they worked.
How can I forget to mention one of the standout characters in this movie? And I don't mean Tessa Thompson's Valkyrie, although she was great. I don't mean Ruffalo returning as the Hulk. I don't even mean Hemsworth or Cate Blanchett. I'm talking about Jeff Goldblum.
What?
How do you feel about Jeff Goldblum in general?
I usually kind of like him. I like that laconic, lanky thing that he always does. And I've seen him interviewed in the last couple of years, and it seems like he's not quite sure what's going on around him, you know, in real life.
Yeah, there's two levels to Jeff Goldblum. There's the Jeff Goldblum who's really going to act, like in something like The Fly, where I think he's phenomenal in that movie. But then you also have Jeff Goldblum just being Jeff Goldblum, kind of like what Christopher Walken has done in the last 15 years.
Yeah, you know when that started? Jurassic Park.
Yes. Yes, and he's so good in Jurassic Park.
Yeah.
Well, they have hired him for Thor Ragnarok to play this alien called the Games Master, and he sets up gladiator matches between superheroes. And that's why you have the Hulk and Thor who are fighting in one scene. From everything I've read, the director was a huge fan of Jeff, and they brought him on, and they didn't write anything. That every single scene is improv. Every bit of dialogue was five different takes to try to figure out what he wanted to do. They had so much input into the way the character looked and how he was reacting off everyone. And what I could see from the audience reaction is, if you don't like Jeff Goldblum, he's going to take you out of this movie. Like, why are you here with my superhero film? But if you like what he does, like I do, he's phenomenal. He's hilarious and really, really a great shot in the arm for this movie.
Little bit of trivia. Do you know Jeff Goldblum's first major movie role?
Oh, Lord. Yes. Hang on. Whew. I have a couple of my... Was it Death Wish?
His first major movie role was in Woody Allen's Annie Hall.
Oh, okay.
When Woody Allen and Diane Keaton are at a party at Paul Simon's character's house, and there is a shot of some of the people there, and there's a shot of Jeff Goldblum on the phone calling somebody and saying, "You have to help me. I forgot my mantra." That was it.
Nice.
Well, just a quick little laugh for him, and then he was never seen again in that movie, but that was his first role. So on a scale of 1 to 10, which is how we rate them on this show, yes, Thor Ragnarok gets a...
I will give Thor Ragnarok, everybody, what's he going to give it? I'll give this a 9.
Yeah, I thought so.
Yeah.
So you sounded like you had a great time.
I had a great time. Now, the reason why it's not a 10 is because I am one of those comic book geeks who likes a little more meat with my story. I wouldn't mind maybe some more, darker things or things that would really have some gravitas. This doesn't have that. It's light as a feather. It's a good time at the movies. It's a comedy. And that's fine. I'm very excited about Black Panther coming out next February because that one looks deadly serious.
All right. Two other movies opening this weekend, which we did not see. One is Bad Moms Christmas. And I haven't seen the movie, but here's my review. If you saw Bad Moms, you'll love Bad Moms Christmas.
Probably. I did see Bad Moms.
If you liked Bad Moms.
Yeah, I went to see Bad Moms with a friend of mine who is a bad mom, and I was one of the only men in the audience, and I thought it was fine. I thought Catherine Hahn was fine and Kristen Bell, but the crowd...
Mila Kunis?
Yeah, the crowd, though, reacted like the Super Bowl. I mean, the crowd was just like, can you believe there's not... And I realized, oh, okay, this really is not for me. The humor's not for me.
Yeah.
You know? And from everything I've read about Bad Moms Christmas, it's the same way. This is a great... night for moms to get out and leave the kids behind and go have a cocktail.
Perfect counter programming for the weekend for a Thor comic book movie. Yes. Like a Thor movie.
Absolutely.
Okay, so you have that's opening this weekend, and another one that's going to play in the art cinemas, and that is called Wonderstruck. What do you know about that?
Nothing.
Neither do I.
Yeah.
I do have one other question for you, though. There's a movie that Rob Reiner made called LBJ, which is opening in lots of other places in the country this weekend. But it's not opening in St. Louis, and I've checked the schedule for the entire month of November, and I can't find out when LBJ is coming here. But that may be a good thing, because in looking to find out when it might be released, I came upon a review by a movie reviewer named Ignati Vishnevetsky. And he wrote on avclub.com,
okay,
he wrote, quote, "Rob Reiner's LBJ hides Woody Harrelson under prosthetics and makeup. The result looks terrible, like a fish-lipped Dick Tracy villain with an elephant's ears."
Whew.
He goes on later in the review to say, "The only thing this wax museum biopic is equipped to handle is the man's crudity." And then later on he says, "To make matters worse, the role of John F. Kennedy is played by Jeffrey Donovan, who played Bobby Kennedy in the movie J. Edgar. His Mayor Quimby with lockjaw has the power to cut a scene's apparent production value in half."
Mayor Quimby, that's great.
So just a heads up that this movie's getting some pretty bad reviews.
You know, I heard about the movie just from Woody Harrelson, and people were saying, oh, Harrelson's going to get nominated for an Oscar.
He's out
for
there
this.
Promoting it on TV.
Yeah, yeah. And I Googled the movie, and I did happen to see a still picture of him as LBJ, and I thought, that can't possibly be what he looks like in the movie, because I would encourage everyone out there to go. He looks very strange.
Just do a Google image search.
Yes. Yes.
Don't look for clips of it. Just do that, and you see him. And
the Dick Tracy thing is exactly right.
Yeah, because if somebody told you that was Woody Harrelson, you'd go, no, that's not him. Yeah, it is, with all sorts of prosthetics on his face. And I've seen it, and you're right.
Yeah.
It does not look good. We'll take a break. When we come back, we've got some reboots of classic TV that we've got to talk about, and also the expanding sexual harassment and sexual assault scandal that has enveloped even more people in Hollywood. This is the Big 550 KTRS. This is the Big 550 KTRS. I am Paul Harris. Welcome to the beginning of your weekend. The Harris Challenge and Knuckleheads in the News coming up next hour. I will warn you that today's punishment music on the Harris Challenge will be the kind of extremely annoying earworm you will not be able to get out of your head. Just a caveat for what you're going to consume audio-wise next hour on this show.
It's my favorite punishment music yet.
Wow. Okay. And it's one I've never used before. I'll tell you that as well. And I owe Max, as we're here with me, I owe Max an apology. I asked him the Jeff Goldblum trivia question. I was wrong. Annie Hall was not his first role. His first role was as a guy in Death Wish, the original movie from 1974 with Charles Bronson, which is being rebooted and starring Bruce Willis.
Oh, my Lord. Have you watched that trailer?
I don't watch trailers.
The tone of the movie cannot possibly be the tone of the trailer because it looks like a comedy.
Well, that was not the original Death Wish with Charles Bronson.
No.
Because if there was any actor, and he was a great actor, but if there was anybody in Hollywood who could never do comedy, it was Charles Bronson.
Mm-hmm.
That comes out in March, by the way. Now, we have talked over the last month or so quite a bit, about the sexual harassment scandal that started almost a month ago with the revelations about Harvey Weinstein, whose Weinstein Company is in serious trouble and probably will not produce anything going forward. But there have been so many other names that have been tossed into the mix recently. And, of course, Kevin Spacey was the big one this week. Netflix announced it was suspending production on House of Cards' sixth season, which they were shooting now, to be shown on Netflix next spring. It was going to be the last season. They'd already pre-announced that before any of this happened. But now they may not even let the sixth season come out because of the allegations that back in 1986, Spacey made a sexual advance on a 14-year-old actor named Anthony Rapp, and since then there's been another similar allegation. On Wednesday, Spacey's publicist said, he's taking a break from acting and taking the time to seek evaluation and treatment amid this series of ongoing sexual harassment allegations. And as we pointed out with Harvey Weinstein, you don't need treatment, you just need to stop treating people that way. By the way, that publicist who said that on Wednesday quit on Thursday. No longer Kevin Spacey's publicist. Also quit his agent. They both dropped him because several more men have come forward with allegations against him. And eight people who worked on House of Cards say Kevin Spacey made the set a toxic work environment. And one of those says he sexually assaulted them. Here's my question for you, Max. Does Kevin Spacey work in Hollywood again?
No, I don't think he does. And I also think the release of his upcoming film is in question. It has a lot of really great people in it, like Tim Hutton and Michelle Williams. Mark Wahlberg is in it.
It's called All the Money in the World, directed by Ridley Scott, with Spacey as J. Paul Getty, the oil tycoon. It's supposed to come out a few days before Christmas.
That's right. December 22nd is the release date. Now, Ridley Scott has been on a great run recently with movies like The Martian. He's a great filmmaker. You have to wonder about him. He's like, wait a minute, I just made this movie. It's going to come out. They were going to do a huge awards campaign for Spacey. That's done.
Yep.
But I wonder if the studio will say, maybe we don't release it right before Christmas. I mean,
how long can you hold it before you hope people forget?
Maybe just put it online. You just give it to Netflix. You sell it to them. I just don't know if people...
Why would Netflix buy it if they're not even going to be in business with Kevin Spacey on House of Cards anymore?
Great point. It's a great point. I don't know. And, you know, you do think about the other people, the Michelle Williams, the Ridley Scott, the people who have spent a long time working towards something. You know, Robin Wright, who's just gotten great notices for House of Cards. Why can she not inherit that show?
That's interesting you should mention that, because allegedly, this has been reported by two people in Hollywood, but not confirmed. Allegedly, Netflix had been talking about, after the sixth season, doing a House of Cards spinoff. And some people have suggested, okay, make Claire Underwood the star of that. Robin Wright's great on the show. Let her go forward with that character. Or maybe Remy Danton, who was the political consultant on that show, or somebody else. But they're going to have to figure it out, and they may just have to leave some room for, I don't know, the feeling that everybody has about him and the show now to wear off.
There are three movies. There's All the Money in the World, the J. Paul Getty movie, which comes out in about a month. Yep. You've got Billionaire Boys Club, which is in post-production. And then his final film, possibly, would be he's playing Gore Vidal in a movie called Gore.
Well, that's just in the works.
Yes.
That's still on the calendar for next year, but hasn't been made yet. And I'm going to tell you right now, highly unlikely that it will be made with Kevin Spacey as Gore Vidal.
Well, principal photography began in July of this
year. Oh,
really? Oh, yeah, yeah. And let's see, in August they were wrapping it up. I mean, it's, yeah, I think it's in post-production now. So that could be his final film produced. I don't know if it'll be released, but that would be it.
Now, let's talk about some of the other people who are caught up in this story. Not the Kevin Spacey story, necessarily, but people like Brett Ratner, who is a very powerful producer and director. Name a couple of Brett Ratner movies.
Oh, Brett Ratner directed Red Dragon. He also directed an X-Men movie called The Last Stand. He's Tower Heist, and he's also a producer. He's produced lots of movies.
Six women have shared disturbing stories about him with the L.A. Times. One of them was Natasha Henstridge, who was in the movie Species,
right,
and then Species 2, and then nothing else. Mm-hmm. And you have to wonder, when you see these actresses disappear, like Mira Sorvino did in the Harvey Weinstein universe,
yep,
when they disappear, when they've had a pretty big start to their career, did somebody step in the way? Did some producer say, you didn't sleep with me, you're not going to get jobs? Olivia Munn said that when she was on the set of a 2004 film called After the Sunset, she went to deliver a meal to Brett Ratner in his trailer, and he masturbated in front of her. Now, what is wrong with these guys who are doing that? Leave your junk in your pants, or if you're not wearing pants, put on pants. Close your robe, whatever it is. Don't touch yourself around women, or anybody, for that matter. One later told an attorney about it, and the attorney said, you know what, he's too powerful. You should not pursue this, which is the very sad part of a lot of these claims. Wonder Woman star Gal Gadot, who we talked about earlier, was supposed to present Ratner with an award at a Jewish National Fund dinner over the weekend. She backed out of that.
That's right.
Said, I don't want to have anything to do with that. Who replaced her? Patty Jenkins, who directed Gal Gadot in Wonder Woman, and I guess knows a lot about Ratner. They worked together in music videos years ago.
Perhaps she's giving him the benefit of the doubt right now. I don't know. I mean, we just got a tweet that came in that said, concerning Spacey, why is it an allegation, but everyone fires the guy? What happened to innocent until proven guilty?
Because when enough people come out and make these claims about somebody, you can put allegedly in quotes. After all, Bill Cosby hasn't been convicted of anything, and he ain't going to get a job either. Harvey Weinstein hasn't been convicted of anything. He ain't going to get a job. Incidentally, the New York Police Department is now pursuing rape charges against Harvey Weinstein. An actress by the name of Paz de la Huerta, who appeared in the Cider House Rules, which Harvey Weinstein produced. She was 14 years old and claims that in 2010, he allegedly raped her. And because the statute of limitations in New York is 10 years, that would mean it would have to be after 2007, and it was in 2010. The New York Police Department is looking into this, and it, by the way, twice, she says, he allegedly raped her.
Yeah, she was in Nurse, and she was also in Into the Void. She was a pretty good actress who also just kind of disappeared, and again, people didn't know why.
Yep, she was also on Boardwalk Empire.
That's right, she was Buscemi's wife.
Now, other people involved in this, Dustin Hoffman. His name came up this week when a woman who's a writer in L.A. says that he sexually harassed her while she was 17 years old as a production assistant on the film version of his production of Arthur Miller's Death of a Salesman. Hoffman said, I feel terrible that anything I might have done could have put her in an uncomfortable situation. I'm sorry. Now, Dustin Hoffman is in his 70s now. Does this affect his career?
How much of a career does Dustin Hoffman really have? I mean, what was the last time you saw him in anything? I mean, he was in Meet the Fockers, right, with Robert De Niro, but I don't know what else he's been in recently. He's kind of semi-retired, I suppose.
I think I saw him in something a couple of years ago, but I can't remember what it was.
Yeah, exactly. So I think he's sort of retired. Plus, that's the story. I mean, I read her deal, too. You could... her account of all of that. And I think that a lot of older men and men who were in their 70s would say, well, that was just flirting. That's just what we did with young women. And it was very, that's just how guys were, which is what Weinstein tried to say at first before people realized, wait a minute, no, you raped women.
Yeah. All right. So then now we got to go to the Casey Affleck question. Because Casey Affleck was accused of sexually harassing two women in 2010 while he was working on his movie I'm Still Here. He denied the allegations at the time, threatened to countersue the women, and then reached a settlement with them. Last year, or actually this year, he won the Best Actor Oscar
for Manchester by the Sea.
That's the tradition at the Academy is the next year, whoever wins Best Actor gives out the Best Actress Award. Whoever won Best Actress gives out the Best Actor Award. There's a petition now going around Hollywood that has over 10,000 signatures already saying to the Academy, in this atmosphere, you can't have Casey Affleck on that stage. What do you think of that?
I don't think anything is going to change because these allegations came out right when the Oscar campaign was going on. He still won the Academy Award for his work, and in his acceptance speech, he thanked his daughters, and he was very, you know, I just think that they'll let him come out, because if he was threatening on countersuing, is he going to sue the Academy or something? I don't know what's going to happen, but I don't know if there's enough there.
Well, it'll be very interesting to see the actress who wins, what she has to say after he hands her the award.
I'll have to look this up, because I did not prep for this conversation, but the actress who presented Best Actor, who would have won the earlier year, not to see who that is, did not give the award to Casey. She left it on the mantle and had the envelope girl give it to him instead.
Really?
And that was a big deal, because that was seen to be on purpose, that she did not physically hand it to him.
Well, now you have to ask the question, what the hell's wrong with the Afflecks? You got both Ben and Casey. Has somebody gone back and checked with their father to see what kind of home they were raised in? Again, allegations, but two more people get dragged into it this week. Danny Masterson, who you haven't heard of for a long time, but at one point was a star on That 70s Show. He's now being charged with allegedly raping four women back in the 2000s. This is a story that's been around for quite a while, by the way. He happens to be a Scientologist, and the Church of Scientology protects their people.
Really?
Yes.
Even through damaging events like this?
Big time.
Wow.
Big time. In fact, one of Masterson's accusers filed a police report in 2004 saying she was raped in 2003, but the case didn't move forward after the Church of Scientology intervened and submitted over 50 affidavits from Scientologists who denied the woman's account. According to a report filed with the LAPD, the woman said Masterson raped her while she was passed out, and when she awoke and realized he was raping her, she struggled with him until he choked her and she passed out again. These are reports from an investigation written by Yasher Ali and published on the Huffington Post. So there's another one, and I guess we can finish with a guy who I don't even understand why his name is associated with show business anymore, and that's the name Andy Dick.
That's a name I've not heard in a long time.
He was a character on David Letterman's show for a while and then left that and was on news radio with Maura Tierney and Phil Hartman. And however long that show lasted, when that was over, have you heard anything about him since then? I haven't, but he's been dropped from this independent movie called Raising Buchanan because there were accusations of sexual harassment and misconduct on the set of that movie this year. Women there say he groped people's genitals, both male and female, and there was, quote, unwanted licking, unquote. What is wrong with you when, without permission, you just walk up and lick somebody? We'll take a break and come back with more showbiz stuff after this on the Big 550 KTRS. This is the Big 550 KTRS, Paul Harris, doing the showbiz stuff with Max this hour. Before we get to anything else, I have a streaming recommendation for you. The comedian Patton Oswalt has a new special called Annihilation, which came out on Netflix about 3 weeks ago. And I have watched it twice because I enjoyed it so much. I will admit that Patton Oswalt's comedy is not everybody's cup of tea, and he touches on some subjects that you may not particularly approve of, but there's one segment of this that you should watch, regardless of what you may think of him, And that is the segment in which he talks about the death of his wife a year and a half ago. Imagine having that tragedy in your life and turning it into part of a stand-up comedy special. That would seem to be among the most awkward things a comedian ever has to do. I know George Carlin didn't talk about the death of his wife Brenda for at least 2 or 3 years publicly, because it's a very private mourning process that you go through. But Patton Oswalt was determined to do this mostly because he loved his wife so much and because he had to keep going forward or he would fall apart. He says in the special that the day she died was the second hardest day of his life. The first hardest was the day after she died, when he had to tell their 6-year-old daughter that the woman who meant everything to her would now no longer be around. How do you turn that into comedy? I will leave it to you to find out. If you're a Netflix subscriber, stream this thing. It's called Annihilation. It's a stand-up special by Patton Oswalt. And remember the 4 words that his wife left him with about the way the world operates, because he would go crazy hearing things in the news, and he would be frustrated at the state of the world, and she would just tell him, it's chaos. Be kind. He said, that's a great thing for me to remember and a hell of a message for my daughter. So again, Patton Oswalt, Annihilation. If you haven't seen it, I strongly recommend it. Earlier this year, Max, both you and I loved Jordan Peele's movie Get Out.
Yes.
Going to be on my top 10 list, no doubt about it. Today, he announced that he is going to reboot The Twilight Zone as a TV series, the anthology series that Rod Serling did over 50 years ago on CBS. He's rebooting it for CBS All Access,
which now airs Star Trek Discovery, which is the latest iteration of Star Trek.
Do we know how many people are watching that, or how many people?
Five.
I think so.
Yeah.
I think that's one of the problems when you have all of these different streaming services.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard enough to keep track of Netflix, Amazon, and maybe Hulu.
The premiere of The Orville, which is Seth MacFarlane from Family Guy, it's sort of his parody-ish take on Star Trek. That had a bigger premiere than the actual Star Trek show,
mm-hmm.
Discovery.
Yep. This is not the only time this Twilight Zone has been rebooted.
I was trying to figure out, maybe the third time, right?
It was revived in the 80s.
Right, I remember
on
that
CBS for 3 years.
1985-ish or so.
And in 2002, it came back for a year on UPN, a network that doesn't exist anymore.
With Forrest Whitaker, I think, did the intro.
I believe you're correct.
Yeah.
If you don't want to have to pay for a service and see stuff like the Twilight Zone, and you have Netflix, watch Black Mirror. I've recommended it to you many, many times. Have
yes.
you yet to go back and watch
no,
it?
No, of course not.
Okay. But it's in your queue?
I mean, it's there.
It should be.
I do love Twilight Zone, though, and I'm excited to see what Jordan Peele's role will be as far as...
He's just the executive producer.
So finding some scripts, finding some stories to tell, possibly.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mindy Kaling is rebooting the movie 4 Weddings and a Funeral.
Hmm.
Making that an anthology series for Hulu.
How could that be an anthology series?
I have no idea.
I mean, that story is a very...
There's
know,
a finite amount
yes,
of information.
It's
there are 4 weddings
end.
And 1 funeral.
That's
if the series is going to be more weddings and funerals every week, now you got a TLC show.
Weird.
Richard Curtis, who wrote 4 Weddings and a Funeral, and Notting Hill, and a bunch of other movies of
Love
that
Actually,
ilk.
Yeah.
Love Actually, yes. He's the executive producer of the TV series.
Huh.
We'll see how that turns out. And the big news this week about reboots was Disney is going to do a live-action version of The Lion King with quite a cast. Donald Glover as Simba. Chiwetel Ejiofor, one of my favorite actors and favorite actors' names, because I can pronounce it correctly. Chiwetel Ejiofor.
Mm-hmm.
He plays Scar.
That's fantastic.
Beyonce is Nala.
Queen Bee herself.
Who is not Mufasa's wife, but Simba's girlfriend,
yes.
right?
Yeah. They grow up together, and the Simba goes away. They come back. They get together.
James Earl Jones will reprise his role as Mufasa. Well,
who else are you going to get? It's Mufasa.
No one else has that voice.
Mufasa, Mufasa, Mufasa.
Now, here's something interesting. John Oliver, who has Last Week Tonight every Sunday night on HBO, brilliant show, he's going to be in it. What role could John Oliver be playing?
He is Zazu, the messenger bird.
Of course he is.
I think it was Rowan Atkinson in the original.
That makes perfect sense.
It makes perfect sense. It's great casting.
And it's a musical, so I'm guessing we have to hear Beyonce sing maybe more than just the Elton John, Tim Rice lyrics that were in the original.
Yeah, I mean, she'll probably do Circle of Life. Now, you said live action, and okay, maybe it's live action. You had a live action remake of Cinderella, which was live action. Then you had a live action remake this year of Beauty and the Beast, which was sort of half CG because all of the things in the magical castle were, of course, you know, brought to life with computer graphics. This is a movie that is directed by Jon Favreau,
who did the Jungle Book,
which famously the set consisted of a stick and a rock. There was nothing for that little boy to interact with. The entire jungle was
CGI.
It was made up.
Yeah.
And I imagine with Lion King, it's going to be the same way. So it's a live action performance, but this won't be like the stage play that Julie Taymor did. We're not going to actually see James Earl Jones. We'll just hear him once again.
So you think that the character of Mufasa will be some sort of animated character that he's just doing the voice of? Well, that's not live action.
Just like Bill Murray was the quote-unquote live-action Baloo the Bear. I think they're going to animate Mufasa.
So who's going to be live in this live-action thing?
I don't think anybody's going to be live. It's all animals.
Well, then why not just call it another animated version of an animated movie?
What did they call Jungle Book? They said it was a live-action version of Jungle Book.
You're correct.
And again, Beauty and the Beast, half that cast wasn't there. You had Emma Watson, but Dan Stevens was all CG.
Yep.
So I think they're going to do the same thing. Maybe they'll do some motion capture where, you know, they'll put a camera on James Earl Jones and try to get his, you know, his movements, almost like a Planet of the Apes film. But this is where cinema's going, really. If you look at the Planet of the Apes movies and any of these, you know, Thor Ragnarok, Mark Ruffalo is playing the Hulk, but you can't see him because he's a big green Hulk.
And that's true. What's interesting to me about this is this was a movie. Then it was a stage show.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's going to be another movie that's not quite the stage show and is not quite the previous movie.
Right.
But it's going to combine elements of both. Now, there is a precedent to this that turned out to be a disaster. And that was Mel Brooks' The Producers, which was a great movie in 1976 with Gene Wilder and Zero Mostel.
And a great show.
And Kenneth Mars and Dick Shawn. Hysterically funny movie. Then it became a Broadway show and broke records, not only for attendance and ticket prices, but also for the number of Tonys it won. And then Mel Brooks got Susan Stroman, who had directed the Broadway version, and said, why don't we make a movie with the stars of the Broadway version, who were Matthew Broderick and Nathan Lane? And we'll get Uma Thurman to play Ula, and other stars, Will Ferrell was in the movie. That movie of The Producers is one of the worst versions of any previously funny thing I've ever seen in my life.
They did the same thing. John Waters has a very funny movie called Hairspray.
Yes.
And it was just as irreverent and sort of off the wall as everything that John Waters does. Then they made it into a touring production with Harvey Fierstein, and it just did a boppo business.
Always sells out the Fox when it comes through.
So then they made a movie version of that with John Travolta, and it's like, wait a minute, that's not even, why are you making a, we have a movie, what are you doing?
Yeah, my daughter loves that musical version of it, though.
Well, I like the original.
Yeah. That's our showbiz stuff for this week on the Big 550 KTRS. Next hour, the Harris Challenge and Knuckleheads in the News.